right. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for just the blessing that you are to me. God, I thank you for all of 2016, even still everything we went through, God, you were still there. God, I thank you for comforting us. God, I thank you for holding us up, Lord. And I pray that you just please be with us now in 2017. God, I pray you help us to push forward. God, I pray you help us to do more for you than we ever have. God, I pray that you, like we were saying last week, stay clean in 2017. God, I pray that you just please help us to stay clean. God, I pray we help live a clean Christian life, Lord. And God, I pray you just use me now. God, I pray you just give me the words to say. And God, I pray you just please be with this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
There you go.
Thanks.
The other guys better be ready. Just in case, I'm praying.
All right. Turn to Proverbs. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Turn to Psalms chapter 18. There we go. Let's do that. Psalms number 18 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
Yeah,
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple.
Yeah.
And my
yeah.
cry
Amen.
Came before him, even
Amen.
Unto his ears. I got the teens memorizing this portion of scripture here because when I was, I believe I was 16 years old, I remember sitting in my room and going through a hard time. And I remember Brother Samson calling me. He had heard that I was going through this. He said, I want you to read Psalms 18. And I remember reading this, and I had tears just falling down my face because it's exactly what I needed to hear. I'm thankful for, even we talk about 2016 and the hard times, but I'm thankful when we call upon the name of the Lord,
yeah.
he listens from his temple and he hears me. I'm glad we serve a faithful God. I remember somebody just gave a testimony, it was Mackenzie at the meeting this past Friday. She said, if I had one word, and you guys know her testimony, you know that the cancer and all that she's been through. She said, if I had one word to describe God, it would be faithful.
Amen.
And she said, just how faithful God's been to me. And so thinking about 2016, going into 2017, just remember how faithful God
yes,
was to you in 2016.
Yeah,
no matter how hard it got, no matter how down you seemed at times, just remember, you always had God. And God's always been there for you. So don't trade out this year. And I have that message on my mind about not taking anything from Sodom and how Kenny Baldwin, he said, you know, so many people have just said, you know, let's make a deal with Sodom. Let's take some of the things we like from them. But how about this year in 2017, we just stick with God.
Amen.
We stick with God. He says, I will love thee, O Lord. I wonder if you love the Lord now more than you ever have, or has your love kind of dwindled? I wonder if our love kind of cooled down for the God in 2016. Let's say in 2017, say, Lord, I just want to love you more than I ever have.
Amen.
His love's never changed. He's loved you the same That's yesterday, right. today, and forever. He loved you on the cross when he died for you, when he commended his love toward you while you were yet sinners.
Yeah.
He died for you. So he showed his love. How about 2017, we show our love.
Amen.
It says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. Remember who your rock is. You're standing on the rock. So many times we learn in the Bible and that parable about the sand and building your house on that unstable ground and it falls. But if you build what you're going to do in 2017, if you build your goals on the rock, Jesus Christ, you're never going to fall. So how about you just plan this year to build on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Build on him as your rock and your strength.
Amen.
And when the
Amen.
Times get hard, and they will, listen, it was rough 2016. There's going to be rough times in 2017. But I can promise you this. It's a guarantee from the Word of God that if you call out to the Lord, he'll be there.
Amen.
He said, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And I remember as a young person, I saw this illustration. I'll never forget it. I remember the preacher was standing here. He said, it's kind of like this. you'll stand over here. God's always been there. See, you, God never left you, but at some point you kind of drew away from him and you kind of parted ways with him. But all you have to do in 2017 is just you take that one step. And God, who's all the way over here, he'll say, I just wanted you to draw nigh to me. And he'll come all the way to where you are.
That's right.
So just remember that in 2017, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how crazy it gets, just remember if you need to read Psalms 18 or stay in the Word of God, listen, it's wherewithal shall young men cleanse his ways, but by taking heed thereto unto his word. Something like that. I completely messed that up. I'm sorry. But you all know the verse. Listen, this is the Bible that's going to cleanse you. This is what's going to clean you up and comfort you. We talked about this morning how the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that the Holy Spirit, he's not a person. There's nothing. He has no personality. There's nothing about him. But listen, we know from the Word of God that it's the Holy Spirit's ministry and duty to comfort us and to guide us. And man, we can grieve that Spirit. He is just as much a person as Jesus Christ and as God the Father. And so this year, listen, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. How about you just get on your knees and say, God, I thank you for your Spirit. Yeah, thank you for its comfort. Thank you for guiding me. We learned in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, where where the Holy Spirit of God separated. He said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. So we know that he can guide our lives. So how about we ask for his guidance? We ask in 2017, say, God, you know what? I sure have been doing a living for myself a whole lot. I sure have been doing what I wanted to do a whole lot. But 2017, Lord, will you just guide me? And everything that I do, my work, my church, my prayer life, my family, everything I do, every step I take, God, will you be there with me?
Amen.
And will you guide me? And I promise you, if you do that, no matter how bad it is, no matter how hard it is, you won't even be thinking about that because you'll just be thinking, man, God sure is good.
Amen. Ryan, come on, give us some. Just like cutting on a tree. He took a few swipes at it. Now Ryan's going to take a few swipes at it. I might call a couple other guys. I got a message, man, but I just don't feel like it's what the Lord wants me to do.
Amen.
Reminds me of the old saying, small strokes fell great oaks.
Amen.
Amen. Turn on Luke chapter 1. When I turn there, we'll pray because I need the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 1. Amen. Father, thank you, God, for Sunday, Lord. Thank you we can come meet here and hear the songs that we sing and hear your word preached and taught to us, Father. I pray that, Lord, your spirit would be in it, God, today. And I just pray that you help me now. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. And I pray that you bless your folks and bless your word. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 1. I love this first few verses here. It says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, from which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke's writing to a guy here named Theophilus, and I don't care much about Greek. I had to learn it for 3 years, so I'm about sick of it. But if you take Theophilus and you break those two words down in Greek, it means a lover of God. Yeah. And that fellow was just preaching about, how's your love for God today?
Yeah.
And how would you like to, wouldn't that be a neat name? You know, the Lord gives people different names. You know, there's a new name written in glory. God, I heard a preacher preach a message on how he gives certain people names or titles.
That's right.
How is it with you? That would be a blessing, I thought, when I read this and when I found out what Theophilus meant. If I could be known to God as a lover of God,
that's right.
That'd be a great thing.
Yeah.
So he's writing to Theophilus here, and look in verse 4. I want you to look at this thing. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And in uncertain times, sometimes what you're going to need is some certainty. In uncertain times, you're going to need some certainty.
That's right.
And what you can be certain of are some of the things you've been instructed.
That's right.
How about some of the doctrines that we believe as Christians?
Yeah.
Brother Michael Shane and I have been reading this book about different cults and knowing what their different doctrines and whatnot. But I'm here to tell you, man, I'm glad that I have a foundation and I'm rooted in. I believe what I believe.
Amen.
And I know.
Amen.
Now, I know it by faith, but I'm glad I can say that I know some things and I believe some things. And there's no wavering at all
Amen.
With that thing.
Amen.
Like the rapture of the church. We're going to get called out of here one day if you're saved. The doctrine of salvation. How it's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if you call on his name, he'll save you. There's a whole lot of things. I believe there's a heaven waiting for me because I trusted Jesus Christ. And I believe there's a hell waiting for those who reject Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I can be certain of these things in uncertain times. If you would, that caught my eye one time when I was reading through Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And in Proverbs 22, I want you to notice this here. Pay attention when you read the Bible. Pay attention to the words that you're reading. Amen. Individual Amen. Words. Amen. They'll pop out and they mean something.
That's right.
They really do. And I thank God that the Lord can speak to you through his word. Look in Proverbs 22. Look in verse 17. It says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall be withal fitted be in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known unto thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? That I might make thee to know the what? Certainty of the words of truth. That thou mightest answer the words of truth unto them that sent unto thee. Why is it so important to know the Bible? So you can answer somebody else the words of truth.
Amen.
The Bible, Paul said that. He said, you ought to be ready to give every man an answer of the grace and of the hope that lieth within you. Amen. You ought to have that thing on the tip of your tongue. In Romans chapter 10, it says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even the word of faith which we preach. It's right there. It should be right on the tip of every person in here right now. If you're saved, being able to tell somebody and explain how Jesus Christ died for their sins,
right.
was
Amen.
Buried and rose again, that Amen. Ought to be right on the tip of your tongue.
Amen.
It ought to be right there. And if not, you can pass out tracts. Thank God the Lord makes it easy for us to serve him. He really does. Sometimes it's difficult, but in the most part, man, it's not that difficult.
Amen.
Just to do what you want. But you got to put away the fear of man. You got to put away your pride sometimes. And you just got to humble yourself and become a servant like Jesus Christ did. So I'm glad I can know some things. You know, some folks have a certain stigma. Well, he's a know-it-all. If somebody raises their hand, tries to answer Bible questions all the time, well, he's a Pharisee. He thinks he knows the Bible. That's not the case, man. You ought to know some things.
Right.
And you ought to be firm and strong about it. You ought to be adamant that you know what you're talking about.
That's right.
I'm glad that I've been through the Bible sometimes. Amen. Not to stop bragging. It's only by the grace of God. Pastor Ryman gave me my first King James Bible. Before that, I knew nothing of the Word of God. Barely anything. And I tell the kids in children's church sometimes, I can remember one time I had a King James Bible and there was some stuff going on in the house. I was probably, I don't know, 11, 12 years old, maybe younger than that. And I used to hate scary movies. I was a chicken. I wouldn't watch scary movies. I was a scaredy cat. But I remember my mom, somebody was watching something about Hannibal Lecter and I thought Hannibal Lecter was in the woods and he's going to get me. And I can remember the Lord, I took a Bible and I opened right up to John chapter 10, how he said, when somebody's in my hand, nobody can pluck them out of the Father's hand. And I tell the kids that in children's church. That's like that's something how the Word of God will comfort you.
Yeah, man.
And I thank God that I had little instances like that in my life, and it kind of led me. The grace of God, the goodness of God, led thee to repentance. And so there's tons of stuff in the Bible that can comfort you, that will instruct you, that will reprove you, that will rebuke you. And I'm glad that I know some doctrines that I'm assured of, and I have certainty of those things. I'm glad I'm straight on that Bible.
Amen.
Turn over to Mark chapter 2.
Amen.
Some things you can know about. This message here, I don't have no notes, obviously, but this is something that the Lord's kind of given me, and I thank God for it. Look in Mark chapter 2, some things you can know, and I'll be finished here in about 2 minutes. Look here, there's other instances in the Bible about you look at that word that you may know. But look here in Mark chapter 2. This is a great story. But look in verse 8. It says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And I thank God that I can know that God has forgiven me of my sins.
Amen.
I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I know that I'm guilty, but you know what? I can go back to God and get it right.
Amen.
Every one of us has that opportunity, has that privilege to get saved and get right and stay clean. Amen.
Amen.
Last of all, turn to 1 John chapter 5. This is the greatest of all. 1 John chapter 5. You probably know where I'm going with this. Here it is. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that the power of God is the gospel. And it says here in verse 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know? You've come to church many times. You've probably heard the gospel so many times. You know it in your mind, but is it real in your heart? Do you know in your heart? That's the difference. See, you can know it all in your head, but do you know in your heart?
Yeah.
I can't explain to you how God did it and why God did it, but I can tell you that I know that one night when I cried out to God and asked Jesus Christ to save me, he came in my heart.
Amen.
And he saved me. Yeah. I can't explain it any other way.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm glad that I can show folks this verse and say that you can know without any shadow of a doubt in your heart that you're going to heaven when you die.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
And when rubber meets the road, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Do you know where you're going when you die?
Amen.
Now, if you're saving this life, you ought to know some things about this book. You ought to know some things about God, and you ought to know about that thing and get it settled in your heart and quit walking on shaky ground. There's other scriptures in there about being tossed to and fro with different doctrines, but the most important thing is, do you know where you're going when you die? That's what we ask folks when we're preaching or when we witness to them. Do you know where you're going when you die? If you die tonight, and I'm glad I can say that I know.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I had a young guy text me. I tell people all the time, you want to answer your Bible, you're studying your Bible, text me or call me. I'll try to answer it for you. And this young guy right here, he is Bryce. He stood up, stand up here, brother. He just got saved 3 weeks ago.
Amen.
He's 12 years old. He texted me last night, said, what about this? I'm in Acts chapter 5. What about this Ananias and Sapphira? What was going on there? And I texted him back. I said, they were phonies trying to be spiritual. Act like they were spiritual, but they were phonies, and trying to make everybody think that. And then he texted me back, oh, okay, I understand now. And we don't want to be phonies.
Amen.
David, come on, give us a lick.
All right. I don't need this. Open up your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 14.
Going deep.
Austin, I believe it was Austin, preached out of this in teen class a couple weeks ago. And I got something out of it, and it's on my heart. I always tell people, you should always be ready at Faith Baptist Church, because any Sunday night, pastor could have you preach. Apparently, Sunday morning is not out of the realm of possibilities.
Amen.
2 Chronicles chapter 14, it says, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Now, verses 6 and 7 are what I want to focus on. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered.
Amen.
Here in this portion of scripture, you see that a young man understands that while he has the opportunity, it's time to get prepared.
That's right.
It is time to get prepared. Here we are. Mike Shane hit on it. We are in a new year, 2017. And if there's anything I can tell you at the beginning of the year, is that it's time to get prepared.
Amen.
It's time to get prepared. It seems as the year goes on, something happens, and then the church some people here at the beginning of the year, they're no longer around.
That's right.
They're no longer around. You want to know why they're no longer around? Because they didn't take the opportunity to get prepared when they should have gotten prepared. Right now, you might not be dealing with something this morning. Right now, you got to church. Everything is good to go. The car is working fine. But you should be prepared if you get a flat tire. You should know how to change a flat tire. When God throws a little a curveball your way, you should be prepared for what's coming ahead. Don't let the cares of this world get you out, because you're perfectly fine. You're all willy-nilly. It's time to get prepared.
That's good. Yeah.
2017, a lot of people think, oh man, it's a new year. It's new year, new me. But it's just another day.
That's right.
It's another day on this walk of life. Yeah. And the fact is that today is a new day, but the same things could happen that could have happened yesterday.
Yeah.
God could test me tomorrow just like he could test me this afternoon. God could put an obstacle in my life just like he could today. The devil could attack me at any given moment. And if I'm not prepared, if my heart's not prepared, if I'm not ready for it, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall. Now, I was talking to the saved people. I'm gonna switch over to the ones who might not be saved this morning. Pastor, you want to know what one of the saddest verses in the Bible to me are? Ye have not because ye ask not. Mark Shane, did you know that some people who want to go to heaven won't make it simply because they haven't asked the right person?
That's right.
Simply because they haven't asked the right person. They think they've lived a good life. They think that they've done everything they can possibly do, and they are going to make it. But they fail to realize that that's not good enough. And when it comes down to it, like Brother Ryan said, when the rubber meets the road, did they ask Jesus Christ to save them? They're gonna slip off into eternity, and if they're not prepared, they're not going to get in. Some people just need to ask. Some people, they live their lives thinking they're doing everything they possibly can do for God. They think that they're a good person. They do all of these things. But ultimately, did you ask Jesus Christ to save you? That's what it comes down to.
That's right.
If you're in here and you're not sure if you're saved or not, it's time to get prepared.
Amen.
2017, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
It's not tomorrow.
Amen.
It's not tomorrow. You should be prepared for tomorrow.
Amen.
Of what may come. You should be prepared for eternity, because you don't know what's coming. If you don't know where you're going when you die, if there's one thing I could plead, if there's one thing I could beg to you, is to get down here and make sure of it today.
I have three guys under 30 already. Three guys. And as a church, that's unusual. You get three guys under 30.
Amen.
That get right up and preach like that. Ain't that unusual? To much is given, much is required.
Amen.
We've got a lot required. Brother Joe, now Joe's over 40. Come on, give us a lick. He's almost 60? Give us a lick.
Well, you never know what you're going to get around here, do you?
Amen.
Amen. I do know some things, Brother Ryan. I know that I'm saved. I do know I'm over 40. There is life after 40. There is. I'm glad I've been saved for 15 years. That means that all those ships that I've sowed before, they didn't get a chance to come back in. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
15 years I've been trying to serve the Lord and do right. Imagine if I was still lost, all those ships that would have came in.
That's right.
The Bible says that you reap what you sow.
Yep.
And the older that I get, and I see these young guys get up, and they're all got this energy and this and that, and that's great. But you know what maturity shows you? The older that you get, you see your ships, they come in. And they're still going to come in. And I always remember Dr. Ruckman saying, you know, you might as well stick your neck out, because you're going to get it in the neck no matter what. So you might as well stick it out for the Lord.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 7. I got a couple thoughts. And I've been reading a lot of Proverbs lately. And it's a blessing. You should read Proverbs.
Yeah.
If there's something that this generation is lacking, you know what it is? It's definitely not technology. It's definitely not TV shows or feminism. You know what this generation is really lacking? Wisdom.
Yeah.
You know what this generation is full of? Fools.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
That's right.
The older I get and the more I look around, you know what we've got? A bunch of fools.
Right.
A bunch of fools professing themselves to be what?
Wise.
Wise. That's what you got. You know what? You're the biggest fool. You turn on the TV, pick a fool, anyone you want, they're going to say.
Yeah.
They're right there. They look like a fool, they act like a fool, and they talk like a fool.
That's right.
You know what Christians do? They follow them.
Yep.
Hook, line, and sinker. It's like throwing a worm in a pond full of fish.
Yep.
They just sit there. It's like a snare, the Bible says.
Yep. Right.
So look what the Bible says. We'll go ahead. I know, I already get some looks here. So what kind of is this? What is this? I don't know. Don't be a fool. What can I say?
Amen.
Proverbs. Proverbs 7 is one of my favorite chapters. Not because of the context, just because of the big picture of sin. And you got this young man that follows sin, and there's a woman there, and that's always how it happens.
Yeah.
A woman always takes a man off track. And, well, I should say this, a bad woman takes a man off track.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God I married my wife. She keeps me on track.
Yeah.
When I'm not thinking right or something else, she'll right away, just the thoughts that she says helps me, gets me straight, and I appreciate that. Look at that. Except for right now. Proverbs chapter 9. Take a look down at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 6, simple verse. It says what? Forsake the foolish. You know what Christians need to do? They need to know some things, but they need to do some things as well. And one of those things they need to do is forsake foolishness. You know what this church would be like if everybody would forsake some foolishness in their own life?
Amen.
Do you have any idea? How serious you'd be about the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
How serious you'd be about reading the Word of God and applying the Word of God. You know what foolishness is? Having everything at your fingertips and following something else.
That's right. Yeah.
That's foolish.
Amen.
And you know, we got a bunch of foolish people in this church right now, sitting in these pews.
Amen.
You know how I know that? Because there's so many people here that should be here that aren't here. Why? They're foolish. It's as simple as that. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and in contrast to the first half of that verse, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. You know what that means? A foolish person is full of pride. They have no idea what wisdom is. They have no idea how they're acting, and they don't understand a thing. You know where most of you get your understanding from? Cable TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you know that? Because I can see, I can look around. I see how people act. I see what they do. I see what's coming out of their mouth.
Amen.
And it's foolishness.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm not trying to hurt you. It's a foolish thing.
Yeah.
Amen. 8:1. Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on top of the high places by the way in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates at the entry of the city. I always think about street preaching there. You want to talk about some fools? That's what we see at street preaching. A bunch of fools.
That's right.
I pick them up off the street. They're all bloody. They're all messed up. That's right. Sodomites, homosexuals, sex perverts. You know what I do? I witness to them.
Man.
Yeah. I pick them up when they fall drunk in front of me. Don't tell me they don't love them.
Right.
I give them the gospel.
Yeah.
But I sure as heck, I'm not hanging out with them.
Amen.
You know why? That's foolishness.
Right.
You know what happens when you lay with the pigs? You get dirty.
Right.
Don't tell me that those evil spirits ain't going to cling on you when you walk away and say, oh, I'm spiritual. I try to help them. No.
Right.
You know, you help them, you give them the gospel.
That's, right.
That's how you help them.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It says, unto you, O men. You know what we need? We need men.
Right.
Teens. I don't even like to hear the word teens. I like to hear young men.
Amen.
You know why? Because you need to be a young man.
That's right.
Quit being foolish. Quit worrying about teenage and all that stuff. You know what you need to worry about? Becoming a man.
Amen.
That's what you need to worry about.
Amen.
You know what you need to follow? Some other men of like faith. Of the church.
Yep.
That leads me to the next point. I'll be quick here. I didn't realize I had all this on my heart. It just came out, you know? It's foolish for, you know, I was talking to my wife about this the other day. You know, another problem that I do see around here is that the older men in the faith, they're not stepping up.
Amen.
They're not acting like men.
Right.
And you know what you have? You have foolish things coming out.
Amen.
If a man doesn't take charge of his home, you know what it'd be? It'd be foolishness.
Amen.
The kids do whatever they want. The wife does whatever they want. I'm not saying bad. I'm just saying without the guidance of the Holy Spirit and a man being a man, the house is a wreck.
That's right.
So what we have is we have a bunch of teenagers trying to be men, and that's good, but the dads aren't leading the families.
Right.
That's another thing that's foolish. You know, the number one problem, you know, I see more women in here than I see men. Where's the dads? Where are they? I see some dads in here. I won't point you out, but it's pretty sporadic. In church one week, not in church the next week, right? It's foolish. Amen. Amen. It's kind of quiet in here.
Yeah.
Do I look funny? I must be saying something is hitting home, right? It's the beard, right? Brother John, back me up on this. Amen. Amen. And I'll finish with this thought real quick here in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. It says, my son, keep my words. Why does he say my son? You know who's in this right here? There's a foolish young man that follows after a woman. And you know what it does? In verse 23, it's like a dart that strikes through the liver. You know what the liver does? It processes filth.
Yeah.
And it gets it out of your body.
That's right.
Do you know why the young man fell into foolishness and it was a way to hell is what it was? Because his liver wasn't working. You know what that is? Your filter. You know the problem is your filter doesn't work
right. Because
you're foolish and it's filled up with other things. That's the problem.
Amen.
The Christian life is not really hard.
Nope.
It's not very difficult at all.
No. Right. Amen.
You don't have to be some spiritual giant, you know, or a pastor or a preacher or a young man on fire. You know what it is? It's simple. It's very simple.
Amen.
You know what it is? You just practice the best you can what you read in this book.
Amen.
And you keep my words, it says in verse 1.
Amen.
Keep my commandments and live as my law, as the apple of thy eye. Bind them on thy fingers and write that. Not Facebook. You know, bind them on your fingers. You know what you need? Tie your fingers up.
Amen.
And put them in that book. I'm serious. Have you spent just a quarter of the time you did on Facebook and Twitter and all this other junk just looking in the Bible? You know what you'd be?
Right.
You wouldn't be foolish.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. That's the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Look at verse 5. That they may keep thee from what? The strange woman. They're going to keep you from some things. You ever think about that? It's going to keep you from messing up.
Yeah.
Amen. Keep you from being foolish. It says, verse 5, from the stranger who flattereth with her words. With her words. You know what Christians do? They're always listening to something else. The Bible's never good enough. You got to always look for this new book. You got to always look for this new website.
Yeah, come on.
This new preacher.
Right.
This new way. This new thing. This new cart. Right?
That's right. Amen.
What's wrong with the old ways?
That's right.
Amen. You know, that's another thing that's foolish. It's always looking for something else, like an add-on. You know, you have everything. Look, all these Bibles, you have everything you need right there.
That's right.
Everything you need.
Amen.
Amen. And last but not least, it says here, verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare, knoweth not that is for his life. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many. Strong men have been slain by her. What a picture of sin that is. You think about that. The Bible says you be sure your sin will find you out. Now, as I look around here, I'll be done here in just about a minute and a half, is I don't know who's saved or who's lost. I see a lot of familiar faces in here. But you know, in Proverbs chapter 7 is one of the greatest pictures of sin there is. A young person goes after it, follows it wholeheartedly, knows in her conscience they shouldn't do it, and guess what happens? The end of that thing, her house is the way to hell, the Bible says, going down to the chambers of death. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about hell. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says it's the second death. You know, you're born once. Guess what happens? You die twice.
That's right.
Either or else you're born twice and you die once.
Amen.
You say, what are you talking about? The Bible says you have an eternal soul that will live somewhere forever.
Amen.
This isn't just an accident.
Amen.
Ryan and I talked to this another fool at work. His name is Guthrie Matthews, and I like the guy, but he's a fool.
Amen.
He's got an answer to everything. He thinks he's smart, got his big ponytail. He's over 40 as well, right? I don't have no ponytail. I shave that thing off, right? Amen. But we got talking about science and this and that, and I look at the stupid mistakes that he makes at work, and he thinks he's so smart. And you know what that is? That's a house going to hell is what that is.
Yeah.
And he's lost. And it says, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now, in Proverbs 7 is a picture of sin. Picture someone going after sin. Now, if you're honest with yourself, you've gone after sin in your life, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
Every single one of us.
Yes, sir.
Fill in the blank. You're still fighting with it now. Dr. Ruckman always says, the Lord leaves us with enough fleas to make you realize that you are a dog.
Yes, right.
You're just the dog. Every one of us. You know what? You're in a dog with a nice suit on.
That's right.
Brother Squeaky, you're putting a sweater on a dog.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Cover it up, right?
Amen.
But the Bible says that all things are open, all things are naked to the Lord. And that's not perverted. What that means is it's that the Lord sees everything. He sees your heart. And he knows that you're a sinner. And if you're not, you can play church all you want, but if you've never been saved, never been born again, God knows it.
Amen.
And you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account of your life to Jesus Christ. I said this a couple Sundays ago, and I'm done with this thought. As you're going to stand before God, you're going to give an account of your life as a Christian. All the foolish things that you've done, all the time on Facebook, all the time on the internet, all the goofy things that you've done in your life that you wanted to follow after, like Proverbs chapter 7, there's a big old list with an account with your name on it.
That's right.
Just because you're saved, you ain't getting out of it.
That's right.
Now, if you're lost, your list is going to hit you a lot harder.
Amen.
Because it's all the sins that's never been forgiven. You see, a saved person gets forgiven of those things. But if you're lost in here, you got to give an account of your sins without forgiveness. Matter of fact, there's wrath upon that stuff. The Bible says that you're an enemy against God. You say, that's a horrible thing to say. I didn't say it. The Bible says it.
Amen.
It says you're an enemy of God if you're not born again. How plain does that get? Imagine being God's enemy. Imagine that just for a half a second. The God that made the sun that you can't look at, like I said earlier, and you got to stand before God and give an account of your life to him as a lost person, you know what you're going to say? Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing.
Amen.
You're going to hang your head in shame as he condemns you in wrath and sends you into the lake of fire to burn forever. You say, that's horrible. I didn't write that. You say, that's terrible. It is terrible.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do about it?
Amen. Come on.
What are you going to do about it? I'll tell you right now what I would do. If I was you, you know what I would do? I would get out of my seat and I'd run to this altar and I'd beg God not to send me to hell for my sins.
Amen.
That's called not sugarcoating a thing.
Amen.
You know that?
Yeah.
Think about that. In fire with your flesh melting off your body, screaming, oh God! And you know what the Bible says he's going to do? I'm afraid to even tell some of you in Psalm 2 what God will do. It's not a joke. Church is not a joke. There's a soberness that I feel right now.
Amen.
Seriousness that I feel right now.
Amen.
I like having a good time, but this is about the souls of men. Do you realize that?
Yep.
If you were to die right now, where would you go? In light of what you just heard me say a minute ago, where would you go? Heaven or hell? That's it. There's no other option.
Right.
It's not on your terms. It's on God's terms. And that's all there is to it. Where would you go when you die? Heaven. In what condition? A foolish condition or a wise condition? Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had today. I didn't expect to say a thing. I hope I pleased you, Lord. I know I told them the truth according to thy word. And I pray if someone's here is lost today, Father, you please would show them the truth and help them to realize their condition, that they're dirty and filthy and naked before you, God. And you can see their hearts and you know where they're heading. I pray you'd help them. Help us not to be foolish. And I pray you save that soul, Lord, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If somebody saved you from a house that you was asleep in and the house was on fire and they came up and they fought their way through that house to get to your room, to get you out, you'd thank them. And that's what hell's even worse than that. We had five people get saved yesterday. And I said, if you got saved and you really meant it, come talk to me. And they came up and they were saying, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll tell you what, we want to see people saved.
Yeah.
I said, I wouldn't want my worst enemy die and go to hell.
Sure.
And you don't want to die and go to hell. And religion, I said, this Baptist church can't save you. I can't save you. Well, a girl came up to me yesterday. She said, Pastor, thank you for saving me. I said, whoa, I didn't save you. Jesus, if you ask the Lord to save you, he saved you.
That's right. Amen.
So you got to understand, Jesus Christ, a religion can't save you.
That's right.
Only Jesus Christ can save you. And you got to ask him to come in your heart and save you. And boy, hell's a real place. And boy, we wouldn't want, if you're sitting here, we wouldn't want anybody to leave this building without knowing for sure. The heavens are home.
Amen.
If you don't know that, you need to make sure. It'd be a terrible thing to die and go to hell from the church pew.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Sitting there hearing the truth and then die and go to hell on top of it.
Right.
That'd be terrible. We wouldn't want that to happen to you. And because why? We love you. Care about you. And wisdom, Bible, you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is applying our understanding and knowledge and applying it and how to apply it in your life and how to be wise. A wise man will increase in knowledge, and wisdom is running from things. Right, I'll tell you this real quick. Talking about the poorest woman. Right after I got saved, my brother went to prison. I just got out of prison, and my brother went to prison. My brother's wife, I was running my brother's company for him. And my brother's wife was a beautiful woman, blonde hair, blue eyes, driving a Corvette. And I was running the trash company for my brother. I was 18, 19 years, I was 19. Linda and I just got married. I wanted to serve the Lord. And Linda and I wanted to raise our children for the Lord. And there's pitfalls waiting for every young man. You better be ready. There's pitfalls. And Linda and I just got married. We had, Samson was just born. Maybe we was 20. We was 20 years old. Yeah, it had to be. Samson was just born. We was 20 years old, 21. I knew God wanted me to go to Bible school. So I told my sister-in-law that I was going to go to Bible school, and I'm going to train a guy to take my place. And she said, I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave. And she was about a year or two older than me. And I went with her one night to go down to see if we could sell the business to a company, a friend of mine. And we went down to see this guy. He had like 10 trucks and 15 or something like that. And so I went with her, and we went down, sat down, and he was going over the paperwork and everything. I'm looking at the paperwork. And when we left there, we was in the car, and I was driving up the road. And I told her, don't do it, because what he's going to do is he's going to beat you out of everything. I said, don't sell it to him. And I said, if you'll do right, I told her this, if you'll do right, God's going to take care of you. She started crying. She's driving. She pulled off into an industrial area. And I said, where are you going? What are you doing? I'm 21 years old. Before I was saved, I was like a wild animal running around. And with all kinds of different women and everything else, just running around like a wild animal. She pulled off an industrial area. And she cut the car off and leaned over and grabbed me and said, I'll do anything. You just stay. I'll do anything. And she tried to kiss me. And before I was saved, I've been all right. The flesh would have been all right. She leaned over, she said, I'll do anything. And I pushed her away. And I said, look, I'm married. I love my wife. And I love my son. And I said, God called me to preach or go to Bible school. I'm going to serve him. And I said, if you'll do right, God will take care of you. If you don't, he won't. She tried to get herself together, and she said to me, don't you tell nobody I did this. If I would have told Linda, she would have killed her. I mean, it had been flat out. She would have killed her. I told Linda years later. She said, why didn't you tell me then? I would have killed her. I said, no, I didn't do that. But you're going to have pitfalls come in your life. And that verse, when you talk about in Proverbs, you got your flesh, man. And if I would have made that decision that night, I wouldn't be here right now. And there's decisions that if you make years down the road, you ain't gonna be around. You gotta make it alter your life, and that's why you gotta pray, God protect me. God protect me from making bad decisions. If you're not saved, you better make that decision, get saved. If you're not saved, come see me, all right? I'll be glad. We'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Y'all enjoy that this morning?
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, I enjoyed it. I wanted to give the guys opportunity to preach on Sunday morning. Amen. I always try to give guys opportunity. Why? I'm trying to help them to get stronger.
Amen.
I'm trying to.